We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Glad to welcome you back to the Crimson Tide Sports Network. And it's this time of the week we always love because we get to open up the Crimson Tide Vault and look back to the past to great wins in Crimson Tide football history. And it's presented by the Bryant Museum. Make sure you check them out on campus here at the University of Alabama. This has always been a really streaky rivalry between Alabama and Tennessee. And back in 2002, it was the Crimson Tide able to snap a streak against Tennessee. And the starting quarterback that day joins me now over the phone, Tyler Watts. And Tyler, roll Tide. It's time once again for the third Saturday in October, even though this year it's the fourth Saturday in October, but that's just kind of how this year is going, right?
Hey, roll Tide, buddy. Look, at the beginning, a couple months ago, we wouldn't have cared if we played this thing in January, as long as we got these games in. Now the season's kind of underway, and yeah, leaves are turning. It's time to play Tennessee, and they stink again, just like old times, right?
It certainly seemed that way with the last two losses they had against Georgia and Kentucky. But the Crimson Tide, once again, are rolling. We've already seen Alabama pick up four wins. Just what's impressed you about this Crimson Tide team, especially this offense with Mac Jones?
Hey, biggest thing I think is just hadn't missed a beat. I feel that everyone thought that with Tagovailoa and Judy and those guys leaving for the NFL that the offense would kind of take a step back and it would be the defense team to step up for them to be competitive, especially early on as they kind of found their way. But this Mac Jones and this offense, I mean, they just keep churning, and it's amazing his ability to throw the deep ball, obviously, and how explosive they are across the board. Running game seems to be better than it was last year, as some of those guys on the offensive line are now seasoned, really have some games under their belt and seem to be dominating the line of scrimmage. Protection's holding up good, and yeah, as most college quarterbacks these days, if you give a guy time to throw the ball, he'll pick a defense apart. Mac Jones has not let anybody down. I mean, he has been on fire all year long with the rest of this offense.
Yeah, you mentioned the deep balls. He's just got such a tremendous touch for that, and Alabama seems to be going over the top more than they did maybe with Tua at quarterback. Is that what you've seen?
I don't know if it's more or he's just hitting all of his opportunities, not necessarily forcing the thing, but I think a lot of times also, Roger, the fact that when you're able to run the football, that's going to suck everybody up and create some one-on-one situations in the past. And he's done a good job of identifying that and being quick to go with the ball. And you talk about the touch. He absolutely has that. And his ability just to throw a high, deep ball and allow his receivers to adjust and run it down. I mean, you got two speedy guys out there in Waddle and Smith that can – it's hard to overthrow them. And he throws it up and allows them to go to it. And Olmichi's in there as well and just gives them an opportunity. And you could kind of see a couple of those passes last week versus Georgia where the receiver is well covered, but he believes in those guys and he has good timing with them. And he just puts the ball up, says 50-50 on foot. It's 80-20 in our favor.
Yeah, it's really been fun to watch. This Crimson Tide offense is rolling. Alabama's 4-0 on the year, and now they make the trip to Neyland Stadium in Knoxville to take on Tennessee. And let's talk about the classic game that we're here to discuss, the 2002 Alabama against Tennessee game. Just what do you remember about the preparation getting ready to try and break that 7-game losing streak against the Vols?
Well, kind of like most young listeners listening to this interview who weren't born when I was playing football, way back then, Tennessee was really competitive, and they were a dominant program, not only in the conference, but nationally. Had just come off of the national championship win in 1998, and we're still a dominant force over there in the SEC East, them in Florida. So we had lost 7 straight, and you know, you think about it, that's 2 or 3 senior classes that had never beaten Tennessee, and it was a big deal to us back then. And so just in preparation for that game, to build up for it, like always, we were anticipating it. We felt that we had a good football team. But in year or two prior to that, we thought we had good enough teams to beat them and got run out of the stadium. So it was an exciting week of football in preparation for us. And I remember Jarrett Johnson and some of the other guys on the team just standing up saying, don't overhype this game. Let's don't build it up bigger than what it is. Just do your job. And if we get everybody doing the job, then we'll have success. And you know, defense really got us going early in that game with a scoop and score by Gerald Dixon, and that kind of set the tone for the rest of the night as we kind of walked Tennessee for the first time in 7 years out of the stadium.
Yeah, Alabama never trailed in that ball game. You mentioned the scoop and score, and then on offense, especially with you running the option, it seemed like when you guys needed to gain some yards, Santonio Beard had a great game, Shad Williams, just everything was clicking for that Tide offense, really controlling the game, it seemed like.
Well, it was kind of hit or miss there for a while. We struggled early on, but we're able to punch in a score, I think, and kind of took control there in the second half. That's how football was played back then. It was a field position game, a lot of punts, a lot of conservative play calling. We didn't complete 80% of our passes, but we pushed the ball down the field, and you know, it took us a while, but we leaned on them, and then eventually made our way up front with the offensive line really controlling things, wore them down, and pretty much had the place empty at the start of the fourth quarter.
Certainly a good feeling to have, and there are a couple plays that you had that I want to talk about. First of all, what happened on the sack where Wesley Britt essentially sacked you in the red zone?
Oh, come on now. I remember no such thing.
Okay. That was one of the interesting highlights I saw when I rewatched some of the highlights earlier this afternoon.
You know, over time, and I think this is God's way of taking care of us, we have the ability to forget the negative and the bad things that happen in your life and just focus on the positive. Running sprints and nearly wanting to throw up and all those things, getting decapitated in ball games, getting sacked by offensive linemen, I've forgotten all those things. I just remember the fun, good times.
Well, let's talk about the other big moment that you had in that ball game. Besides that play with Wesley Britt, you're able to take it on the option, run to the end zone for the touchdown that really seemed to break Tennessee's back in that ball game, and that put Alabama up at that point 23-7 with the extra point 24-7. Just what do you remember about that play? And we can still see the image of your big smile right as you go into the end zone.
But is it in your living room? That's all I want to know, Roger.
You know, I'm trying to buy one. They're like $500 on eBay for that Daniel Moore print.
Hey, growing up here, there's a couple things I think every kid dreams of, and that's being remembered for a play that you made versus Tennessee or one that you made versus Auburn. And I was fortunate enough to have that opportunity versus Tennessee of scoring a touchdown on an option play and get up in the line of scrimmage. And I knew that they, by alignment, they weren't going to be able to defend it. And we were able to get in the right call. Everyone executed the play and walked into the end zone. And you know, you could see the sheer excitement, I think, from everybody on the team at that moment, because it was all love and I was celebrating there in the end zone. And that was just of years of kind of wanting to be in that situation of sheer excitement of knowing that, all right, we got these guys. We're about to have some fun for the rest of the night.
And you certainly did, as Alabama picked up the 34-14 win. Take us into that locker room, because you mentioned there have been all these emotions, the 7-game losing streak to Tennessee, and for the first time since 1994, Alabama players are able to smoke cigars and celebrate a win against the Vols. What can you tell us about the scene that was in that locker room?
Hey, it was like a Metallica concert with pyrotechnics going off and everything, smoke everywhere, place going nuts, and it was just a shame all of us were so fired up. And you know that high, that adrenaline rush that you get. And unfortunately, it was a 6 o'clock kickoff. And by the time we got loaded up back on the plane, ready to go celebrate with everybody back in Tuscaloosa, everybody was abed. And we got brought back down to reality real quick. And then Sunday, you start all over again. But I tell you, that locker room was super excited with the amount of pictures was what I remember of everyone taking with one another and different guys trying to put in, memorialize that moment, something that they could take with them forever. And I guarantee you there's probably very few people that were on that football team that don't have a picture from that locker room, either in their house or in their office at work.
Yeah, it certainly is special. And for you, that was your last year wearing the Crimson Tide uniform. Is that one of your favorite memories or favorite parts of your legacy as an Alabama quarterback, that you were part of a team that was able to snap that streak?
It was for us. And it had so much to do with the fact that we had little success versus them for 7 years, like we talked about. And, that's kind of a highlight of our career. I mean, there was a lot of really good moments, played with a bunch of great guys, but that was the one that kind of stood out. And, our senior year might not have ended the way we wanted to on a high note, but we did get to end my career with a win out in Hawaii. But that game versus Tennessee that night up in Neyland Stadium, starting the game in front of 100 and however many thousand and ending it in front of just about 20,000 Alabama fans, that was pretty cool.
Certainly was. And then the Crimson Tide, speaking of streaks, so you snapped the streak that night in 02, and then fast forward 5 years later, it was the beginning of a what is now 13-game winning streak for Alabama against Tennessee. And all throughout the Saban era, we've seen some tight ball games, but Alabama wins. We've seen some blowouts as well. And we've also seen Coach Saban really have respect for this rivalry. There's still the cigars after the ball game in the locker room. Are you proud that he has still made a point to make sure these players know how important the Tennessee game is for this fan base?
I think wherever you've been, he's done a good job of keeping the ongoing traditions, things that he doesn't know a whole lot about. And I remember asking several years ago on Hey Coach about, you've been at Michigan State, you've been at LSU, you've got Michigan State, Michigan, LSU has Arkansas, maybe Ole Miss, but that's not really a rivalry. Their rivals kind of rotate between us and Auburn. Is it any different with being here and it being the schools being so close and having so much success and things of that nature? And he commented on that. He wasn't really sure about the Tennessee and the Auburn rivalries to begin with, but he learned real quick, and he appreciated that. And you got to understand, that's what makes this stuff fun. I mean, it really is, because if there was no interest and no passion behind it, then, it's just an intramural game. But it means so much to so many people, and these coaches catch on to that quicker than anything. They want to be a part of it, and they get juiced up about this stuff too.
Well, Tyler, as we start to wrap things up, just tell Crimson Tide fans what you're up to, and again, any final thoughts about the game this weekend between Alabama and Tennessee?
All right, now just sitting here in Tuscaloosa, or in Birmingham, rather, working, selling insurance. Excited, hopefully, about coming back on board with y'all next year and being a part of the post game party that we always have enjoyed fielding calls and things of that nature. But right now, just raising kids, and as far as this game goes, it's the thing about it is you never know. And I remember you referenced that first year with Saban in 2007. We get four players suspended the day of the game for textbooks, and we're an underdog, and we go out there and blow Phil Fulmer and that crew off the field. So while everything looks to be steering in our direction, you just never know with this game. Things seem to be falling apart up there, but if you're not prepared to play, everybody's got good enough players to beat you. And we've seen that sparingly, but a few times over the last 10 years within this rivalry, and this weekend will be no exception.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And Tyler, just thank you for joining us and giving your memories of the 2002 win against the Volunteers, and we do look forward to catching up with you more down the road here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. But just thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Roger.
All right, Roll Tide to Tyler Watts. Thank you for watching. This has been the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.